that is from the word faith is the word believe, to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to Christ. We have faith in Christ. He'll fulfill all that he said. You know what? And we have faith in the faith of Christ. His fidelity. He's made the promise. He'll carry it out. That's the reason we can rest in them and rest in him. Again, we mentioned about faith, conviction or belief, respecting man's relationship to God and divine things, the fidelity of Christ, conviction that God exists and that he's the ruler and creator of all things. He's the provider and bestower of eternal salvation. And then as relating to Christ, we have strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Savior. He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer, through whom we obtain eternal salvation. We obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of our Lord. Faith, trust, believing. The fruit of the Spirit is to manifest faith. How do we do so? Well, in our conversation, we don't live and walk in life like we are our own director, but we submit to our Lord in everything. We desire this, Lord. We desire this help and healing for our loved one. Nevertheless, thy will be done. We're looking to the Lord for help, and then we look to the Lord and we yield to whatever his will is. Lord, we need provision. Give us this day our daily bread. Lord, we need life. Lord, we need right use of our minds. Help me that I would have right use of my mind. We have faith in him to help and deliver and direct in everything. We are looking to him in every whit of this life, the life to come. And then in passing from this life, we have faith in our Lord. We're to exhibit that faith. Our conversation as the children of God is to be seasoned with grace. It's to be seasoned with the reference and the touch of our Lord upon our lives. Not faith that is feigned or faked. You can see that when 9/11 came about, and they would show video of those Muslims and different ones, Osama bin Laden and some of his gang. You know, all the time they were saying in their language, praise God, praise the Lord, praise God, praise the Lord. And that's not what we're talking about. And that's not how faith is exemplified, just by hollow words, much speaking, as the brother talked about and referred to in the scriptures this morning. They believe that they'll be heard because of that. But faith in the Lord Jesus, it's real. Faith that is the salvation, has been unto the salvation of our souls, and a rest and a reliance upon our Lord and Savior in every whit of life. When we get up in the morning, the day is his. And what does he have for us? Everything, our families, our entire being, we rest and rely on our Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 1, we're not told to add faith. And that is a difference with many of these other things and these other things that we've preached about and looked at in the scriptures. We're not told to add faith, but rather to add to faith. Faith is given by God. Faith is given by God and possessed by the children of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses number 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. That's the great design of God. And that not of yourselves, not that grace, not that faith. It is the gift of God. If you're here without Christ and you don't have faith to believe, ask the Lord for faith to believe and rest and trust in him. You need God. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is that giver of faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We as sinners, naturally sinful and without God, alienated from him because of our sin and our wickedness and our depravity, we have nothing to trade God for anything. We need the Lord. We need his faith in us. We need faith from him. And so if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you need faith. and go to the Lord, who is the giver of faith. Our faith in the Lord stands in his power. As it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and this is the greatest exhibition of power, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 5, that your faith should stand in the not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And what is that power? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15, we see this power in this chapter, the gospel defined in 1 Corinthians 15, but also the great resurrection chapter. Our faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, and biblical and true scriptural faith, faith from the Lord does not, but it stands in the power of God, and it looks to the power of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 14, we read, "And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Your faith is also vain." Verse number 17. "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." So faith is given by the Lord. It's given by God, and that faith that we have from God stands in the power of God. We look to his power and what he has promised, what he can do, what he said he would do and has done. And all of that faith is based in his resurrection. If he didn't raise from the dead, our faith, our belief, our trusting, our resting in him is vain. But he did raise from the dead, didn't he? He did raise from the dead. Looking unto Jesus, Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He purposed to write it. Amen. The author, he purposed to finish it. He purposed and made it so that we can have faith in him. And because of our faith in him, our rest in him, and what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do, we have great hope. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He's sitting there because he's fulfilled it. Amen. He's sitting there at the right hand of the throne of God because he's fulfilled everything necessary for sinners, for his people to be saved. Amen. He's done it, and we look to him. We have faith in him for it all. So in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're not told to add faith, but we're told to add to faith. Faith that we've been given in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yet in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is the exhibition of faith. Do we exhibit faith? Do we believe that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to every man? Do we believe that our Lord has instructed us to give thanksgiving for our food, and we do so? Do we believe that just by the reading and the listening to the words, the feeding upon the words of this good book will be a help to us? And on and on and on and on we could go. Do we believe that our Lord has commanded us to our benefit and to his praise and honor and glory that we should meet together the first day of the week to worship him? There's many aspects and many things about faith. Do we believe the commands of our Lord's towards us that are to be unto his? Our obedience is to be unto his honor and glory and praise, and every whit of them to our benefit. You know, our Lord has commanded us to meet together to worship him today. But you know what? We benefit from that, don't we? Faith. We're to exhibit faith in our life. Man has no faith naturally, does he? Man has no faith naturally, only feelings. Again, when faith is mentioned in the scriptures, it is always relative to God. Having faith is faith in God's ability to do for you, to do for you and his promises. Any form of the word feel, again, is only mentioned 14 times in the scriptures and 5 times in the New Testament. That's what men have. That's what mankind has, is feelings. I feel this, I feel that. But listen, forms of the word faith in the scripture are found 336 times. Faith in the Lord. Forms of the word believe are found in the scriptures 287 times. Forms of the word trust in the scripture, again, are found 188 times. Faith, belief, and trust in our Lord. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 2, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. We just don't have it. Naturally, man does not have faith. In Hebrews 11, 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And naturally, man talks about hope. He says, forget hope. I'll make my own way. That's what man says. Man looks at hope as a thing of luck or of chance. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. But faith of our Lord Jesus Christ and in our Lord Jesus Christ is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Why is there hope? Because our Lord has promised something. He's promised something. He's made a declaration about something in our lives or in our future, in our help. And we believe him. We trust in him. But without faith, it says in Hebrews 11, 6, it is impossible to please him or God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You believe that? You think God means that? He means that, doesn't he? Seek the Lord while he may be found. There'll be a day when he will not be found. Man naturally does not have faith, only feelings. The apostle said unto our Lord, increase our faith. And it's interesting how our Lord dealt with them about that. They were talking about their feelings. I want to feel good about serving you. Our Lord doesn't call us to feel good about serving him. He calls us to rejoice in him and to trust in him and rest in him. What Jesus said about what we are to exhibit, faith. In Matthew chapter 8, let's walk through the scriptures here and just listen to what our Lord says about faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verse number 10, the centurion comes to the Lord about his sick, grievously tormented servant. Right? You remember that account? And the Lord said, I'll come and heal him. And the centurion said, nope, don't need to move a muscle. All you've got to do is want to. I'm a man under authority, verse number 9 in Luke chapter 8, having soldiers under me, and I say to this, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. That centurion says, I understand authority. And you've got way more authority. You've got the ultimate authority compared to what I do. I understand authority in my life. You have the ultimate authority. All you've got to do is say that he'll be healed and he'll be healed. Amen. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's what Jesus said. He said, I've not found so great faith, no, not amongst my own nation, as I have in this Gentile. Matthew chapter 9. Remember, remember how it was here in Matthew chapter 9. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You remember what happens even after that. They quarrel with the Lord, those that are there in the house with him. But what was it? The Lord, they brought this man one man born of four. They couldn't get into the house. They couldn't get in through the window. They couldn't get in through the door. And what do they do? They said, they knew and of themselves, if we can get him before Jesus, he will be healed. Their faith was not in their ability. Their faith was in the ability of the Lord. And they pressed and they worked and they did all they could to get their kin, their friend, their neighbor before the Lord Jesus Christ. They dropped him down through the roof. They didn't care about the damage. They didn't care about the expense. They didn't care about the jeopardy to themselves, getting their loved one, their friend, their neighbor, their kin up there on the roof. They did everything they could do. They knew that they could not heal him themselves, but they knew that Jesus could. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith in him, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." Verse number 4, and Jesus, knowing the thoughts, wherefore said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house." Faith. Faith in our Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 9, we see continuing on here about the woman with the issue of blood. And what was it? Jairus was there and pleading with the Lord and to come and heal his daughter. She's close to death and even very near death. But come and lay your hand on her and she'll be healed. And on the way, there was a woman that had been suffered many things of the doctors and had this issue of blood for 12 years, just as the same amount of time that the young girl had been alive. And she said, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch him." In verse number 22, "But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Listen, thy faith in me hath made thee whole.'" All I've got to do is touch. What the scripture tells us that when she touched the hem of his garment, that she could feel within her that she had been healed. She could perceive it within her. In chapter 9 here, continuing on in verse number 29, we see in verse 27, the Lord comes upon two blind men that follow him. They're saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy on us." The blind men come to him as he goes into this house, verse 28. And Jesus saith to them, "Believe ye that I'm able to make you see?" They say unto him, "Yea, Lord, we know you can do it. We know that you can do it." And listen to what he says unto them. "Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith in me, be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it." In chapter 15 of this book of Matthew, this Gospel of Matthew, we see here the woman that Brother Stephen mentioned about this morning. And I tell you what, her faith indeed is great. Her faith in the Lord is great. A Syrophoenician woman up there around Tyre and Sidon. And the Lord is there, and this woman is saying, "O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Help, help." Jesus ignores her. This doesn't say a word. The disciple said, "Send her away." Jesus says, I'm just called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." She worships our Lord. "Lord, help me." She knows that the Lord can help her. Her faith in the Lord is great. She knows all he's got to do is want to. It's not a matter whether he can try and maybe pull out this incantation or that incantation or this cure or that cure. She knows that he can. "Lord, help me." He said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." Tell you what, we would be offended at that. She says, "Truth, Lord, that's the truth." "I am, and you're right, I am. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table." In another gospel it says that falls from the children's table. She said, "Yeah, you're Lord, you're right, Lord. You're right." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. You know what? This woman was not offended in Christ, was she? She was not offended in Christ. What Christ said went. What the Lord Jesus Christ said was the truth. And she agreed with it completely. She was totally debased herself, and the Lord Jesus exalted. You can help me if you want to. Yes, truth, Lord. O woman, great is thy faith in me. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. The man that was brought his son that was lunatic here in Matthew chapter 17. The disciples tried to heal them, those that remained that didn't go up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the Lord sees the man dealing with his disciples. He says, they said, why couldn't we heal him? The disciples ask here in this chapter. And he says unto them in verse number 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, which is the smallest of seeds, and ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, for nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, not just faith and self-ability, self-righteousness, self-faithfulness to the Lord, but faith in our Lord Jesus. Faith in him. And chapter 21, and the disciples, they had been given to even be able to raise people from the dead when they were sent out. Understand that. But maybe it was with that young boy that they took upon themselves their ability, their experience. They thought it was them rather than faith in the Lord, rather than seeking the help of the Lord. And then an interesting passage here in Matthew chapter 21, as they're coming and going out of Jerusalem, and the Lord makes his triumphant entry. And on the way there, there's this tree, there's this fig tree, and the Lord cursed the fig tree. He's returning back to Jerusalem in verse number 18 of chapter 21. I find this passage interesting. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Now you know what's interesting about this, we understand it. This is in the springtime, what we would call the springtime. When our Lord would address, you know, came to this tree this way and seeking fruit on it. And the thing is, figs won't come on till August or September. Well, that's unreasonable of the Lord. We might think that. But listen to what the Lord's doing. And he's dealing with his disciples. It's not the fig tree, it's the disciples. And presently the fig tree withered away. Verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? He said, you're done, fig tree. You're done. Could this be a testimony to the disciples that Israel, in a sense, in her day, in the day of her having the keys of the kingdom, was going to be done? Israel is referred to as a fig tree sometimes. This is not the time that the fig tree would have any fruit, if we understand this correctly. And they said, look, that fig tree's withering just right there before our eyes. And Jesus answered and said to them, verse 21, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to this fig tree, to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Faith in our Lord, who has the ability and the power. See, this isn't the imparting of ability or power to us, but to But our Lord working and our petitioning him, as Brother Stephen has been teaching about in the adult Sunday school class, and what the, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, asking our Lord to do, believing ye shall receive. Verily I say unto you, if you have faith, verse 21, and doubt not, faith in our Lord to do. In Matthew chapter 23, our Lord tells us what is the greatest thing. One of the greatest things, as he rebukes the scribes and the Pharisees here in Matthew chapter 23, verse number 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe and of mint and anise and cumin, real small herbs, were this much right here, what I could hold in my hands would do you for a year or better. You tithe those things. Listen to what our Lord says. And have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Faith in the Lord. Do we have faith in our Lord that he says what he means, has said what he means, and means what he says? That we do need to listen to him and take his good word to us and follow him and obey him in it? That his judgments are great, and what his judgments are need to be our judgments. That's the way we need to esteem all things in life, is what our Lord says about it. That we would seek to be merciful as our Lord is merciful. That we would have faith in him. Faith is of greatest importance to our Lord. In Mark chapter 4, our Lord is there found asleep on the pillow as this great storm comes up. They're there in the ship with the disciples, and they wake him up. They are fearful for their lives, but the Lord Jesus Christ is not excited. He comes out and he rebukes the wind and says to the sea, peace be still. And he says unto them, verse number 40 of Mark chapter 4, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith in me? If Jesus isn't excited, we don't need to get excited. Amen. If Jesus is asleep on the pillow, we can just kick back and relax. Amen. See, if we have faith, if we're going to take up this life and live it ourselves, well, we should fear. But if we're going to live it by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and by his directive and by his word and his instruction of us, we should just rest in him, have faith in him. Blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, here looking about what Jesus and what's recorded about Jesus and faith and what he says about faith. Blind Bartimaeus there at Jericho, he's crying out unto the Lord, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And in verse number 52, or verse 51, and Jesus answered and said unto blind Bartimaeus, the Jericho road, that song that we sing is in regards to him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith in me hath made thee whole. In Luke chapter 7, the sinful woman that was there and came and washed the Lord's feet. And Luke chapter 7, verse number 50, and she was there, and Simon didn't offer the Lord any water to wash his feet. He didn't offer him any ointment to anoint his head. He didn't greet him with a kiss. But this woman, with the tears of her eyes and with her hair, washed the feet of the Lord Jesus. And she's anointed the Lord Jesus with ointment. He makes a contrast between this woman and Simon. Wherefore I say unto thee, verse number 47 of Luke 7, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? What's the Lord Jesus? It's God Almighty. That's who he is. He saith unto the woman, Thy faith in me hath saved thee. Go in peace. Go in peace. The 10 lepers in Luke chapter 17 that come to the Lord and they desire to be healed, and there's only they implead the Lord in Luke chapter 17 verse number 11. He passes the midst of Samaria, enters into a village. 10 of the men that were lepers stood afar off. They lifted up their voices. Verse 13 said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And we saw them. He said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. They believed what he said. And when one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. That man was saved. Not only was he healed, he was saved, wasn't he? By his faith, thy faith in me hath made thee whole. Faith. Faith is talked about and recorded in what our Lord Jesus Christ has said. Faith in him. Do you have faith in the Lord Jesus? Do you have faith that he's the Savior of your soul, the forgiver of your sins, the redeemer of your soul and your life? Have you repented of your sins before God and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Child of God, do you have faith in your Lord that he'll carry you on to that which he's promised you? Faith. We can't add faith. But we are to exhibit faith in our Lord in every way. In conclusion, to we who are saved, add to faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. But if there's one here that is not saved, you don't have faith. And by trying to add to nothing, you'll have nothing. Because men won't be saved. You won't be saved by your good works. But we who are saved, we need to add to this faith that we've been given. We need to add to this faith. And as it says in Galatians chapter 5, we need to exhibit faith in your, my Lord Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is faith. Against such there is no law. And they of their Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Again, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The fruit, the Lord's fruit, of faith challenge to us. The Lord's fruit of faith challenge to us, to we who are saved. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith in him. Yeah. We can overcome the world in and of ourselves. But by our faith in Jesus and what he's promised and what he can do for us and how he can strengthen us and work in us and the promises he's made, indeed we can. And it's miraculous that it can even be. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Brother Stephen read that passage about the unjust judge and the widow that desired to be avenged of her adversary. You know what? Our Lord will avenge us, and it'll be right on time. Even though we may think that time will tick on and maybe years and decades would go ahead and pass, and it just wouldn't be, the vengeance just wouldn't be what it ought to be. Oh, our Lord will make it what it ought to be in his wisdom and his power and ability. I tell you, he will avenge us speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, when the Son of Man cometh at that rapture, I think that's what he's talking about. When the redeemed of the Lord are going to be taken out of this world, and the dead in Christ are going to raise from the dead, and those that remain will be caught up to be with the Lord, as it tells us in Thessalonians. When the Son of Man cometh at that time, shall he find faith on the earth? Will he find his children believing that the gospel will work? Will he find his children believing about the truth of the church, that that is the institution that God has left? Will he find us here believing and having faith in him, that what he said about the way that we ought to live and that we ought to be salt and light to this wicked, sinful world, will we be about that? Will we have faith in him that what he has said will continue to be the truth no matter what? Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Because our brother pointed out, God is not an unjust judge. He's perfect and righteous and merciful and wrathful and loving and long-suffering and vengeful, in every way right, in every way perfect, in every way. We can have faith in him that he doeth all things well. The Lord's fruit of faith challenge to us. Peter says that he'll go with the Lord Jesus unto death. That even though everybody else in their troop would bail out and deny and betray the Lord, that he would not. And in Luke chapter 22, verses number 30, 32, and so, the Lord Jesus says, Peter, Satan has desired to sift thee like wheat. Satan wants to sift you, Peter, and he thinks that you're just a bunch of talk. He thinks it's just going to be a bunch of chaff and there won't be any kernel there. But I've prayed for thee, verse 32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith in me fail not. And when thou art converted, he's not talking about him being saved, but he's talking about him being dedicated and sold out for the Lord in every whit, that the whole answer to everything is the Lord Jesus Christ. When thou art converted, Peter, and we see that in Peter, don't we? Strengthen the brethren. Faith. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13, again, to we who are saved, the Lord's fruit of faith challenge to us. Brother John writes, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's writing to those that believe. And he affirms to us and admonishes us and encourages us and informs us that we do have eternal life right now. And he admonishes us and writes to us that we may continue to believe in our Lord. A life of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or the beginning of a life of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the continuance of a life of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May we know that. Do you and I manifest the faith fruit of the Spirit? Has our faith fruit waxed cold? Do you have any faith fruit at all? Again, I've read this verse many times in Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit manifests and exhibits faith in our Lord. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his, and he can't bear any fruit. To those that are here and not saved, we point you to Christ once again, and know that our Lord, and the Scripture bears out a few verses, in Romans 10, 17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the reason that we look to teach and preach the word of God in our services. And every ministry that we have, we herald out and proclaim forth what the Lord has said. And we pray that by the word of God, you will hear. And by hearing, you may believe. and have faith in our Lord. We desire that and pray that the Lord would bless you with that. As Philip dealt with the Ethiopian eunuch there in Acts verse number 8, or chapter 8, he says, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest be baptized. Not in order to be saved, but to show what the Lord has done for you. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the eunuch answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I have faith in him. That all this that you've preached to me out of Isaiah 53, that it's true, Brother Philip, that it's true for me. And Brother John writes in his gospel in John 20, 31, all this is written, and we can even say this about all of the scripture, but these things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior that you need, sinner. All these things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. He is God, come in the flesh. These things are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in him, ye might have life through his name. Faith in him, nothing else. Not in a denomination, not in a creed, not in good works, but faith in Jesus. It's interesting that the book of the Gospel of John only uses one form of the word faith one time. Again, the Gospel of John only uses any form of the word faith one time. Believing is found a lot in the Gospel of John, but this form of the word faith is only used one time. Listen, John 20, 27. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing.